You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 53, Vegas, baby. Vegas and CES, they go together like losing money and walking several miles a day. So fortunately, there wasn't much money lost on this trip, which was 2 weeks ago. But lots of steps gained on the Fitbit, walking the show floor. So, yeah. So 2 weeks later, I'm doing my update here for, well, I've got another episode that's going to cover CES. That's coming up next here. So, and with that, let's start the news. Las Vegas Council bans glass aluminum liquor containers on Fremont Street Experience. So this ban started in late June of 2014. It was a unanimous Las Vegas City Council vote. There wasn't a single person that voted against this. So I was in Vegas in late July of last year, but I didn't venture downtown to Fremont Street. So otherwise I would have noticed the ban. So this year I stayed downtown, for CES, at the D Hotel and Casino, which is right on Fremont Street. So I always like to get, you know, something like a Mike's Harder Lemonade, which is 8% alcohol, or, you know, like a pint of Crown or something like that at, you know, at one of the package or souvenir stores, because they are normally, you know, under $3. You know, like you walk through one of the casinos, for example. I noticed when I was in Treasure Island, they had Mike's Harder Lemonade at one of the bars. The, you know, regular 16-ounce can was $8.65. No way. I prefer to pay $2.85 or cheaper. So, so anyway. You know, I stayed right there, downtown Fremont Street, walked out, there's a souvenir store, they had Mike's Harder Lemonade. So, it was, you know, under $3. I'm like, all right. So I went to go purchase it. So they have to put it into a separate plastic bag and staple it closed with the receipt. So you can't. So in other words, the whole purpose of it, you're going there and then you're, you know, basically take it back to your room and drink it or something like that. You can't drink it on Fremont Street. So, the driving force for this, you know, this was pretty obvious, you know, is the casinos on Fremont Street. They're concerned about losing drink revenue as each one provides, you know, like, so when you exit one of the casinos, they provide a plastic cup station that you can pour your drink into. So, like, if you're drinking, like, say, a tall boy or something, you know, then, you know, that's in a aluminum can, like, say, you get, or a bottle, like a Heineken or something like that, while gambling, you can carry out to Fremont Street. You just have to stop and pour it into a plastic cup. This is ridiculous. You know, so, I don't know. It's such a weird position. You know, so, you know, these souvenir shops and package stores like ABC stores, you know, they really, you know, yes, they sell liquor. And liquor is a big business for them, you know, because they sell it cheaper than what you can buy inside the casino. Who cares? Casinos maybe should start charging less for it if they are worried about this instead of, you know, enacting some stupid law. This is Vegas, really? And you can't drive on Fremont Street. You're walking around. So, you know, I guess really what you could do is, if you really wanted to walk around with, say, a Mike's Harder Lemonade, is go into the casino, crack it open, you know, rip open the stapled plastic bag and take the receipt out, pour it into a plastic cup, and go out to Fremont Street and drink it. You know, so I guess that's an option, but it just seems so ludicrous and ridiculous. So previously, they did have a ban where on certain, you know, like things like New Year's Eve or July 4th, to not drink, you know, carry around for safety reasons. You know, they want people dropping a glass bottle while people walking around and stuff. So I get that because there's a ton of people there those holidays. So this is just plain confusing to visitors, even with, you know, like the many signs, like every souvenir and package store has signs and warnings that the souvenir shops put up, you know, so that they don't get fined, so customers don't get fined, get in trouble for buying, you know, cheaper liquor at the stores. So, you know, odd law, especially for a town like Vegas. I mean, really odd, and a place where you are walking. So, Pretty dumb. Wonder when this will get changed. No Uber or Lyft ride-sharing services in Las Vegas. So ride-sharing versus the taxi companies is why Uber and Lyft are not operating in Las Vegas. You know, this is another law that slipped past me when I was last in Vegas. So this the article that I linked to the show notes was from July. So, you know, when I was last in Vegas in late July, I had my own car. So it wasn't that, you know, I didn't need Uber or taxi or any you know, type of thing like that. So, anyway, Uber and Lyft are not available in Vegas, mostly due to the tight regulations that the taxi companies have to abide by, and they force ride-sharing into that. So, you know, and it's not that Uber and Lyft are trying to skirt the law. They do background checks. They do safety checks and have many, many requirements that drivers need to go through to carry passengers. Personally, this is all part of a huge taxi lobby that exists in Las Vegas. They don't care to compete properly with upstarts and reinvented transportation options like Uber and Lyft. So, people arriving, 160,000 people arriving for the trade show like CES, tech people that normally take Uber or Lyft in their home cities or other cities when they travel, will have to stand in line for hours for a high-priced taxi or have already planned, you know, booked ahead like a town car or limo service to get around, you know. So, I find this just weird, you know, that, you know, I understand tight restrictions. And Uber and Lyft should play with safety rules. They should have restrictions. They should have, you know, things that they need to follow and things like that. I don't think anyone's against, you know, and the taxi companies come out and they're like, yeah, they can compete. All they have to do is, you know, sign up like the rest of the taxi services. So I'm kind of conflicted on this, you know, and, you know, there are some things Uber does, like, you know, like the surge pricing during events and things like that. So I could imagine that if they were there for CES, there would be a, you know, I think there would be 5, 6, 7, 8 times the, you know, the rate for Uber. You know, Lyft does it too, but not as bad. It's just dumb, you know, that they can't, you know, they can, but the taxi lobby and the taxi restrictions and and everything that the taxis have to go through and everything like that, you know, to force Uber and Lyft to do everything like that. I mean, you know, then again, taxi services, you know, Uber would be just as much as taxi, which is kind of what the point of the taxi services are. They will be fine with forcing all that. So, you know, once you're on the strip, though, there is the monorail. So, but, you know, to get around, either walk or, you know, stand in line for a taxi and pay, you know, whatever, forget what the fee is for the taxi per, you know, quarter mile and stuff. Allison Rosen out as Adam Carolla's show News Girl sidekick. So the first Adam Carolla Show podcast of 2015, back on, I think it was Sunday the 4th is when I first heard it, announced Gina Grad, I think that's her name, as the news girl. Adam addressed the change as Allison just didn't work out as a sidekick. Allison was the news girl on the popular podcast for 4 years. Just didn't work out, but, you know, realized after 4 years she didn't work out. So Allison is taking her podcast with her. She addressed the firing on one of her first episodes of the year. No hard feelings, she says, but it was a firing nonetheless. I guess Adam had emailed her. In his defense, on one of his podcast episodes, you know, talked about how that was something that they had agreed upon. You know, if that were the case, you know, she would be fired. So she is now recording her podcast out of her home. Adam Carolla's podcast has been, at least to me, has been shifting more in character over the last year. So this change is not really a surprise. You know, I like Adam Carolla. He's funny. I really liked him on The Man Show with Jimmy Kimmel. But, you know, his political leanings have shifted. You know, I don't think he was really so much liberal, but I don't know. there's some things I just don't, you know, agree with him on. You know, he's, hey, kudos to him for building this great business. But, you know, I'm still wondering why after 4 years he felt Allison wasn't a good fit or cast in the wrong role. So Adam went into almost an hour of details why he fired Allison on an episode about a week or so ago. So, you know, he let loose, but pretty much. He left no stone unturned. You know, basically saying that Allison didn't, you know, ignored him at a company party and, you know, all these different things. So, you know, this Gina Grad, the so-called replacement right now for Allison, had worked with Adam over at Los Angeles FM station KLSX. Yeah, so, you know, I really don't, you know, I've listened to Adam Carolla podcast for a while, but, you know, I'm going to give Allison a shot here. And I think, you know, all the best to her on her own, and I think she'll be just as popular. This week's rant, George Zimmerman arrested again. All right, who doesn't know who George Zimmerman is? Well, he's, this time he got arrested for allegedly throwing a wine bottle at his girlfriend. God, pure love right there. Holy crap. The neighborhood watch guy who killed an unarmed teen in Florida has been in trouble with the law several times since his acquittal for standing his ground, so to speak. Yeah, I'm no fan of this moron. What's missing this time are his legions of supporters who are tired of seeing the legal issues he's gotten himself into. Sure, there's some that will support this moron into every arrest and domestic disturbance he encounters. I can't support this guy on any level. I think he's a fraud. I think he was wrong to kill an unarmed teen. I don't demonize him for that matter. Some on the extreme right will paint us non-supporters, non-George Zimmerman supporters. You know, he's demonizing himself at every stupid move he makes. Maybe one day he will wake up and realize what a dumbass he is and start acting like a responsible adult in society. And to his followers, you know, and people that apologize for him, stop apologizing for this dumbass. You know, I'm not demonizing. I'm calling it as it is. He is a dumbass, and he is stupid for thinking that he is going to ride this stupid fame of his on his acquittal because he shot and killed an unarmed teen that really had every right to be in that area, you know. Big deal, you know, got into a scuffle. Who cares? You know, he had a gun, the teen didn't, you know. Let's hope this moron goes away soon. Shameless plug this week is real-life Peter Griffin. He makes a splash at New York City Comic Con. Robert Franzens does a cosplay of the lead character on Family Guy, the animated cartoon on Sunday nights on Fox. He nails it in so many ways, and not just the voice impersonator abilities, which he sounds just like Peter Griffin, who was voiced by Seth MacFarlane. But that he also looks like the part with his green pants, the glasses, his weight, and size and proportions. He loves doing this so well, which makes his character fit at New York Comic Con. So the video, I have the video attached to the show notes for this episode. Go watch it. I watched this thing several times. It's pretty short. It's good. It's funny. I love how people are taking pictures of him. At one point in the video, I'm going to, you know, spoiler here, but oh well. He goes into the surf and bird thing when someone asked him, have you heard? It's cool. This one was shared by listener Kevin, better known to the blogging world as Capgar. Thanks, Kevin, for sharing this. It's Sin City. Choose your vice. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.